Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur 12 lines from the top of Daf Chof Dalid. Before we begin the actual shiur, we just want to note that we're in the middle of a long topic that we started back on Daf Yutes, and there we indicated that this topic continues till the end of the Masechta Dinim that are related, halachas, laws that are related to avelus, to mourning. The Gemara, Omar Rafrom Bar Papa, Tana Be'evel Rabasi. It's been taught in a Tanaic source of laws concerning avelus, known as Evel Rabasi, the following source. Ovel osu l'shamish mitosu b'mei evlo. A mourner is forbidden to engage in intimacy with his spouse during the days of mourning, during the week of mourning. U'maisa be'echa, there was an incident with someone, shishimesh mitosu b'mei evlo, that engaged in intimacy during the period of mourning. V'shamtu chazirim es gviyoso. There are two explanations as to what the word gevio means. Gevio means either his body or his male organ. And shamtu chazirim, chazirim, a type of animal, a boar, a swine, a pig, they removed, either they removed his male organ or killed him entirely. Omar Shmuel. Now, we have on the side of Agamor, before we continue reading, we have a topic heading, a nosei, followed by a mivneh, a structural note. So under the nosei heading, we've written, Nihuge Avelus, practices concerning mourning, Shalol Linhoig Oysom B'Shabbos. Those practices that are customary of a mourner are not to be done on Shabbos. Choyva Shalol Linhoig or Rishus. The issue will come up concerning different aspects, different practices. Some are obligatory, namely it is obligatory to avoid them, and in some cases it's optional. Under the Mivneh heading, you notice we have a house form featured. This represents a machloikis Rav Shmuel, and you see the names Shmuel and Rav in the house shape. They have a machlokis legabi prias harosh b'shabbos, which means legalois roshe me'atifas evlo. Prias harosh means the exposure of his head, whereas a mourner, generally speaking, during the week of mourning, his head is covered, is wrapped, is not exposed. Can he expose his head from the atifa, from the wrapping, from the covering that he practices during the week of mourning? So now the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Pachaz, Choyva, Neser, Rishus. These are abbreviations, each one two, three letter abbreviations. And what do they represent? Prias Harosh, the exposure of one's head on Shabbos. The Shabbos meaning the Shabbos that comes out during the week of his mourning, the first week of mourning. Chazoras kera lachorov, the rip that he made in his garment, it shall be turned backwards so that it's not clearly visible. And zikifas samita, the repositioning, the straightening out of his bed that he otherwise had inverted as one of the practices of mourning. So these three things, exposure of head, flipping around or switching around the rip in the garment, and the straightening out of the bed, chova, that is obligatory. Namely, on Shabbos, the week of his avelus, the week of his mourning, when it comes to Shabbos, so these practices this must be taken care of. And ni'ilas hasandal, the issue of wearing shoes, namely a mourner during this week of mourning removes his shoes, so that's called chalitzas hasandal, the removal. Here ni'ilas is to put shoes on. Tashmish hamita, intimacy with one's wife, which is ordinarily prohibited during the week of mourning. And rechitzas yadayim raglayim b'chamin arvis, washing of one's hands, feet, with warm water toward the onset of Shabbos, that is rishus. He has the option of putting on shoes, of engaging in intimacy, and of washing for Shabbos. Of course, a mourner, without the Shabbos consideration, a mourner during the first week of his avelus is strictly forbidden to wash. The Rav Omar, Af Prias Harosh Rishus, the issue of revealing his head is also a matter of option if he should so desire. Now, the Gemara asks a question on Shmuel, and the question lasts a couple of lines. Ushmuel, Maishno ni'ilas hasandol dirishus. Why is it that you classify the issue of wearing shoes as a matter of option? Delav kule almo avidi desaimi misanaihu. But in general, kule al means other people, in general, not everyone wears shoes. So that for the ovel to continue non-shoe wearing wouldn't be an obvious demonstration of avelus, which we are trying to avoid. We didn't mention that earlier, but we don't want public demonstrations of mourning on Shabbos. So when it comes to the issue of shoe wearing, do you have to put on regular shoes? So Shmuel said, no, that you don't have to. And namely, so walking around without shoes is an option. And we're saying, according to Shmuel, why is it an option? Because other people that aren't mourners also, many walk without shoes. Prias Harosh Nami. Lav kuli almo avidi de megalu reshaya. With regard to exposure of head, you should treat it the same way. Why then do you, Shmuel, classify priyas harosh as being chova, being obligatory? Not everyone walks around with their heads exposed. Many people, even if they're not mourners, walk around with head coverings, whether it be hats or garments wrapped around their heads. It's not something that other people avoid in general. So not everyone exposes their head. So why do you, Shmuel, insist that the mourner expose his head? Even if he doesn't, he's not going to appear in an obvious fashion as a mourner. The Gemara answers, Shmuel litamei. Shmuel, with regard to his expectation, his obligation of exposing head on Shabbos for the mourner, is consistent with Shmuel's opinion in general about mourner head covering. Mourner head covering, in fact, is something that's rather unusual and characteristic only of mourners, as will be explained momentarily. So we say that Shmuel, in his insistence on exposure of head on the part of the mourner on Shabbos, is consistent with Shmuel's reasoning elsewhere. The Omar Shmuel, and there are two points that are made here. The first we have in brackets because it's not the point of emphasis right now. And he says in the brackets, Kol kera sheino b'shas chimum eino kera, any ripping that doesn't take place at the time of initial emotional reaction, at the beginning of his tsar, of his pain, which is associated with time of death. So a tearing that doesn't take place at that time, we'll call it at the beginning of the pain, at the time of death, so it's not considered a tearing. The tearing, which is of course obligatory for the mourner. And the second point, which is relevant to us right now, v'chol atifa sheino katifa sishme'elim, any head covering or head wrapping that is not like the Arabian way of head wrapping, eino atifa. It's not considered a head covering. So that simply wearing a cap on one's head, that would not be called atifas harosh, according to Shmuel. And why? Because that's not the way of the Yishma'elim, of the Arabs. Machvi Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman demonstrated what is meant by a head covering in the Arabian way. That's ad gubi de dikna, until one's cheeks. In other words, the Arabs, and in fact you might see this even to this very day, that they wear robes with hood-like extensions of the garment, wrapping their heads, covering their forehead down till their cheeks. So that type of atifa is something that Jews to practice would be only amongst the mourners. So that on Shabbos, Shmuel is saying, don't walk around like that. That would be an obvious manifestation of mourning, which we don't want on Shabbos. Omer of Yankiv, Omer of Yochanan, Lo Shonu, that which we said that the Ovel has to reveal his head on Shabbos, Lo Shonu Elo She'ein Lo Min Olam Baraglov. That's only for someone who's walking around without shoes. Avol Yeshlo Min Olam Baraglov, if he has shoes on, so Min Olav Moichichin Olav, the shoes show that he is, to the eyes of the public, and he is not a mourner. He doesn't appear as a mourner. He might, of course, he is a mourner, but since he opted to put on shoes, he doesn't appear as a mourner. Therefore, even if his head is covered like the Atifas Yishma'elim, he doesn't appear as a mourner. And therefore, he can remain with his head covered even down to the cheeks. Once again, only if he is wearing shoes. Now we go back to the point that we de-emphasized earlier. You'll notice there's an arrow, and it reflects back upon the issue of the tearing. And on the side of the under the nosei, the topic heading, we've written kera she'eno b'shas chimum eino kera, a tearing, a ripping that of garment which is required of the mourner. If it's not done, according to Shmuel, if it's not done at the time of initial pain of death, pain of news of death, it's not considered a tearing. So that's the topic, and notice under the Mivneh heading, we have a crown shape. These are kushyos al ha'klal. These are questions on that principle. You'll notice we also have a triangle marking. These are maisim shesipru al moisom shel gedolim. These are stories or incidents told about the death of some great men. The Gemara. Kol kera she'eino b'shas chimum eino kera. Any tearing that doesn't take place at the time of chimum literally is heat. It's when a person is emotionally charged with the news of the death of the relative. If he doesn't tear at that moment, it's not considered a tearing. The Gemara asks, and note the question lasts a couple of lines. V'ha amru lei l'shmuel noch nafshe derav. Shmuel was told about the death of Rav. Koro ole tresar moni. He tore 12 garments. Omar, and he proclaimed, Ozal gavro dahave mistafino mine. A man that I used to be afraid of Rav was a towering Torah personality. And I was afraid of his questions. Rashi says the mastafina mine bekushios. I was afraid of his questions or of asking him, but it was in the realm of Torah study that he says that he was afraid of him, and he has now died. Omru lei le Rabbi Yochanan. It was told to Rabbi Yochanan, Noch nafshei de Rabbi Chanina, that Rabbi Chanina died. Korole tleisar itzdili milsa. Itzdili is a type of garment. Milsa is a fabric, maybe it's silk. So when Rabbi Yochanan was told about Rabbi Chanina's death, he tore 13 garments. Omar, Rabbi Yochanan said, Ozal gavadav mistafina mine. Here is a man that I used to be afraid of that now has died. So what do we see in this question? We see that they tore a number of garments, so that we can say that the initial tearing, that was at the time of Chimum, but the subsequent tearings were not, and yet they did do the tearing. The Gemara says, Shaini Rabbanon, the case of these great men and their demise is different. The Kevin the Kol Shaito Midkiri Shmatzayu, since at all times as people are learning, they're mentioning their names and their teachings, Kishas Chimum Domi. As soon as you recall the teachings of that man that you knew and he now is no longer, it's as if you're restoring that initial sense of pain. So we're in principle maintaining Shmuel's original teaching that the tearing, in order to qualify as a mourner's ripping, it must be Bishas Chimum. Omar Le Rovin Bar Ado Le Rova. Ravin tells Rava, Omar Talmidcha Rav Amram, your student Rav Amram says, and he teaches a following, and he's been noted as saying, Tanya, Ovel kol Shiva Koroi Lefonov. The Ovel of all 7 days, his rip is, the rip is in front of him. The Bola Hachlif Machlif the Korea, and if he changes an article of clothing, Rashi adds, even though it's now not Shas Chimum, it's not the time of intense pain, he's changing his garment several days later, he's Machlif the Korea. He changes the garment, but must rip that one as well. B'Shabbos Koro LaChorov, on Shabbos the rip is turned in back. And if he wants to, if he needs to change his garment, he'll change and does not tear. But we note this as a question. Again, why is this a question? Because we see at the change of garment point in time, which is not Shas Chimum, nevertheless there is a tearing of the garment. That would challenge Shmuel's rule. The Gemara answers, Kitanyo Hahi, Bechvoid Oviv Imoi. That is a case of someone's father or mother had died. And we know from previous sukkis as well that there's an additional element called honoring of parents, so that the ripping is in honor of his recently expired parent, and not a function of laws, so let's say strict laws of mourning. Therefore, with regard to strict laws of mourning, the rule of tearing, according to Shmuel, is it must be done at the time of extreme emotional arousal, the Shas Chimum, and not later. Oison Karoyen, Misachin Oyein Misachin. The rips that mourners make in their garments, are they re-sewn? Misachin is to re-sew or not. Pligi bo avua de Rav Hoshaya ubar kapora. These two argue, chad omar ein misachin, v'chad omar misachin. One says they are not to be restored, to repaired, and the other says yes. Testayim, let us conclude, de avua de Rav Hoshaya de omar ein misachin. That it must have been the father of Rav Hoshaya that represents the opinion that says they are not to be re-sewn. Those rips are not to be re-sewn. The Omar Rav Hoshaya, Rav Hoshaya himself has been noted as saying, Ein Misachin. Yoshaya himself says, you don't repair the mourner garment rips. Miman Shmiale, Lav Me'avua, from whom did he hear that? Is it not from his father? So if that be the case, so then Avua, the father of Yoshaya, is the one that said, Ein Misachin, as that is the opinion that his son cited. So his son must have gotten it from his father. Look, the Gemara rejects that. Rather, Rav Hoshaya is Mibar Kapora Rabbei Shmialei. Rav Hoshaya received that tradition from Bar Kapora, who was his Rebbe. He learned Torah from Bar Kapora. And that's where Rav Hoshaya got his din, as far as we are concerned. Omar Rava, Ovel Mitayil Beunkli Besoich Besoi. Ovel, on Shabbos, walks around, Mitayel is to walk around, in his house, Beunkeli. Unkeli is the, Rashi uses a French word for it, but for our purposes, Rashi also adds choluk shikoro. The choluk is the garment that he had torn. And why is this allowed? Because it's considered, as Rashi says, bitsin'a, it's considered in privacy. And as far as we are concerned, that which is in private and appears as an act of mourning is allowed on Shabbos. Again, we emphasize, provided it is in private. Abaye Ashkele Rav Yosef, de porisle sudra areshe, the ozil v'osi bevese. Abaye found Rav Yosef with a head covering that is characteristic of Atifas Arosh, and he was walking back and forth in his house. Omalei, lo lav sover lo mor, ein avelus b'shabbos. Abaye asks Rav Yosef, don't you hold that there is no mourning, there are no expressions of mourning on Shabbos? Amalei, hochiyam Rav Yochanan. Rav Yosef says, Rav Yochanan says, thusly, dvarim shebetzina, no hey, matters that are of a private nature can be practiced on Shabbos. Rabbi Lozer Omer Mishachorav Beis Hamikdash Atzeres Kishabbos Ragamliel Omer Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim Kirigolim. We saw in the Mishnah regarding the topic of holidays and their ability to cancel the continuation of the week of mourning, the Shiva. So the principle that the Mishnah taught was, in general, the holidays, Pesach and Sukkot, if 3 days after a death took place, the holiday falls out, occurs, there is no more Shiva observance. You observed 3 days, you don't have to make up the balance after the holiday. So the Mishnah also reflected, noted the opinions of Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Gamliel regarding a period of time after Churban Beis Hamikdash. So with regard to Shavuos, which in the time of the Beis Hamikdash had a similarity to, even though Shavuos is noted as a one-day holiday, it was similar to Pesach and Sukkot insofar as there were make-up days for bringing the holiday sacrifices. So Shavuos had an element of a seven-day holiday. But once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and there's no more issue of bringing the holiday sacrifice or having make-up days for bringing the holiday sacrifice, Shavuos is unlike Pesach and Sukkot. It becomes a one-day holiday. Rabbi Lozer felt that as a result, Shavuos is like Shabbos and does not cancel Avelus that was started before Shavuos set in. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivne, a structural note, and Aleph and Beis appear. These are Shnei L'shoinois V'ma Posak Rav Gidol Bar Menashia. Rav Gidol Bar Menashia appears in the Gemara as issuing a ruling, and there are two lashonas as to what concerning what he said his ruling. Omar Rav Gidol Bar Menashia Omar Shmua Halocha Karabon Gamliel. So according to the first lashon, Rav Gidol is ruling in the name of Shmuel like Rabban Gamliel, that maintains that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have the same power as holidays with regard to the laws of Avelus, as we mentioned just before regarding the the canceling or the stopping of the Avelus week. V'iko demasni lahod Rav Gidl bar Menashe ha, and there are those that teach Rav Gidl's teaching regarding the following. On the side, you'll notice a triangle appears. These are Gimel Dargis Shel Giloim Beinyan Kvuras Tinokos. Three different ages of infants, of children, in the unfortunate situation of their dying, and what we do. So the source says, Kol Shloshim Yom Tinok Yotze Becheik, an infant that dies within 30 days of his life, he is when buried, when that infant is buried, so he's buried b'chek, means he's carried out in one's arms, not in a coffin. V'nikbar be'isho achas u'shnei anoshim, in the trip to the cemetery, so a woman can go with two men. Avol loy be'ish echod u'shtei anoshim, but not one man with two women. And this has to do with laws we call the laws of Yichud, which are featured in Maseches Kiddushin, and the fear of acts of immorality taking place. So one woman is safe, so to speak, if she goes with two men, as opposed to, of course, going with one man, that would be forbidden. But the switching the numbers around, one man with two women, that's a situation that we do not accept because of the fear of immorality. Abishol is more flexible or more yielding in this respect. And the reason for that is that even though in general one man should not be in private with two women, since we're dealing with, as Tosfos points out at the top, we're dealing with a matter of sadness, of burials, of avelus. People are not going to be drawn to immorality. The Einoim Dimalov B'Shura. Shura literally is a row. This was the practice of offering consolation. They would stand in a row and consolation would take place that way. So when it comes to the death of an infant so young, the Shura method is not employed. The Einoim Dimalov Birchas Avelim V'Tanchume Avelim. And the special benediction known as Birchas Avelim, which is featured in Maseches Ksubis, it's also known as the Birchas Rechova. This was a bracha recited in a public area, and Tanchume Avelim, the 7-day custom of comforting, consoling the bereaved, is not done with regard to the death of a child under 30 days of age. Ben Shloshim, 30 days, a child dies 30 days old, Yotze, meaning 30, above 30 days old, Yotze B'Dluskimo, Dluskimo is an Oron, who is carried out in a coffin. Rav Yehuda Omer, Lo Dluskimo, Haniteles B'Kosef, Elo Haniteles B'Agapayim. A coffin not to be carried by one person on his shoulder, but to be carried by at least two people, and the coffin carried in their hands. The oimdin olav b'shura v'omrim olav birchas aveilim v'tanchumei aveilim. The standard practices of consoling in the row, the public benediction that's known as birchas aveilim, and consolation in the house of the bereaved is to be practiced. Ben Shemesh Rechodesh Yotze B'mita, at 12 months, a year old child that dies, he is to be carried out in a stretcher. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, Hu Ben Shona V'Evorov Keben Shtayim, Hu Ben Shtayim V'Evorov Keben Shona Yotze B'mita. Rabbi Akiva says that if the child is, I don't know if we should say deformed, or the child was 1 year old, but his limbs, he looks very mature, looks advanced, his limbs are like that of a 2-year old, or the other way around, he's 2 years old and his limbs looked like that of a one-year-old. He is carried in a mita, in a stretcher, to bury, to the grave. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Hayotze b'mita, Rabim matzivin olav. Eino yotze b'mita, ein Rabim matzivin olav. One who is carried out in a stretcher, in a mita, in a, literally a bed. So Rabim, the public, matzivin olav, they arouse emotion and pain. However, if the child is so young that he's not carried out in a mita, then we don't have this practice of the emotional arousal on the part of the public. Reb Elazar ben Azariah Oimer, Nikur l'Rabim, Rabim misaskin imoi. Rashi says, Nikur l'Rabim, shoy makirin kvar, shoy rogil lotzeis min abayas. A child that was recognized by the neighbors. He was old enough that he would go out, leave his house, so others would recognize him. So he's of age that we can expect the public to tend to his burial in the event that he dies. However, eino Nikur l'Rabim, then ein Rabim misaskin imo. If he's so young that he never left his house, so then it's not an obligation on the public to attend to his burial. Umahein behespid. How old must a child be for us to say that there's a mitzvah to eulogize him? Rabbi Meir b'shem Rabbi Yishmael Omer, aniyim b'nei shalosh, ashirim b'nei chomesh. Children of the impoverished, 3 years old. Children of the wealthy, 5 years old. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmoi, Rabbi Yehuda says in his name, Aniyim b'nei chomesh, Ashirim b'nei shesh, uv'nei zikenim k'b'nei aniyim. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda gives us different age breakdown. The children of the impoverished, 5 years old. Children of the wealthy, 6 years old. And the children of the zikenim are treated with the standard of the children of the impoverished. You might be wondering, why is the age for eulogizing the children of the impoverished younger than that of the wealthy? So Rashi says that's because the oni, the impoverished, has greater pain with the loss of his child than a person of means. And that might raise some people's eyebrows, but the logic is fairly simple. The oni doesn't have anything else in life. He has only his children. He doesn't have any other source of joy, of satisfaction. He only has his children. A man of means, as sad as it is to lose a child, but he has other sources of pleasure in life. Therefore, the urgency of eulogizing the child of the usher is not the same as that of the child of the impoverished. And what we were waiting for is this line. Omarav Gidl Bar Menashe Omarav. Here we were looking for an issue upon which Rav Gidl issued a ruling. So here Rav Gidl quotes Rav saying, Halacha k'Rav Yehuda she'omar mishum Rabbi Yishmael. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Yishmael, as opposed to Rabbi Meir's version of Rabbi Yishmael, that the aniyim are eulogized at 5 years of age and the ashirim children at age 6. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, and we've written Yoim Echod Lifnei Hamoyed VeHachag Nechshavim Yomim Rabim LaAlois LeChesben Ashloishim. Shloishim is the 30-day mourning period, and we've discussed this in previous Dapim, that besides the initial 7 days of mourning with its stringencies, there is also the completion of up till 30 days that also has certain mourning-related restrictions. The issue that we're dealing with here has to do with the reduction of the 30-day period by virtue of the fact that the demise took place right before a holiday. And the holiday, as we've seen in previous Gemaras, has the power to reduce days of mourning. So as we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice some markings. We have some trapezoid or volcano shapes, and on the side we indicate Shnei Rabbonim Hametziachsim Liyoyim Echad Lifnei Atzeres, two rabbinic opinions, and how they relate to the day before the holiday, and what is its value in terms of mourning reduction. A double underline will be used to highlight the expression Yoim Echad, and a diamond appears around the expression Lifnei Hamoyed, in front, the day before any one of the given holiday, as we'll see in the Gemara. So now the Gemara, Dorash Rav Anoni Bar Sason Apischa de Beinasiya. Rav Anoni taught at the entrance of the house of the Nasi, of the leader of the Jewish people, Yoim Echad Lifnei Atzeres, one day before Shavuos. And we're talking, of course, about an Ovel, a person who was an Ovel, who experienced Avelus. Someone died a day before Shavuos. So he was an Ovel one day before Shavuos. Ve'atzeres, plus the holiday of Shavuos. Harekan Arbo'o Asar. That counts as 14 days. So you get 14 for the price of 2, so to speak. Shavuos being a one-day holiday in Eretz Yisrael. So this is what Rav Anani taught, that if someone experienced a death one day before Shavuos, so he'll have to make up only 16 more days to complete the 30-day mourning period. Even though, after all is said and done, he only experienced mourning for one day before Shavuos and the Shavuos holiday itself, but we say that is worth 14 days, leaving a balance of 16 days to be observed with mourning restrictions afterwards. Shoma Rabbi Ami v'ikpid. Rabbi Ami heard this and he was upset. Omar, and he said, Otu didei hi? Is this Rav Anoni's teaching? The Rabbi Elazar Omar Rabbi Shaya hi? This is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar in the quoting Rabbi Shaya. So it would appear that he was upset that he said this halacha as if it were his own teaching, when in fact it's a tradition that he had received, or that was popularized by Rebbe Elazar quoting Rebbe Shaya. Dorash Rebbe Yitzchok Nafcha Akilo de Reish Gelusa. Rebbe Yitzchok Nafcha taught at the kilo, the porch, the entrance of the home of the exilarch, Yoim Echad Lifnei Atzeres V'Atzeres, Arei Kan Arbo Asar. The same calculation as we saw before. One day before Shavuos and the holiday of Shavuos is worth 14 days. Shoma Rav Sheshes Ikpid. Rav Sheshes heard this and he was upset. Omar, and he reacted, Otu Didei hi? Is this Rav Yitzchok's own teaching? The Rav Lozer, Omar Rav Shaya hi? It is a tradition that was received from Rabbi Lozer quoting Rabbi Shaya. The Yomer Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shaya. Minayin Latzeres Shieshlo Tashlum in Kol Shiva. From where do we know that the holiday of Shavuos in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, even though on record it's a one-day holiday, during which time the nation of Israel, each person was expected to bring holiday korbanos. Let's say he didn't. He has 6 makeup days, a total of 7 days. From where do we know that Shavuos, you have 7 days in which to bring the holiday korban, the holiday sacrifice? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, B'chag HaMatzos, B'chag HaShavuos, U'B'chag HaSukos. That's a quote from the Pasuk. Ma Chag HaMatzos, Yesho Tashim Mikol Shiva. Just like the holiday of Pesach, you have 7 days during which to bring your Pesach holiday korban, what we call the korban chagiga, and you have an Olas Re'iyah. So Af Chag HaShavuos, Yesh Lo Tashlumin Kol Shiva. By virtue of the presence of Chag HaShavuos together with Chag HaMatzos, which is Pesach in the same pasuk, we compare the two. Just like Pesach is a 7-day holiday vis-a-vis the bringing of the sacrifice. Of course, it's a 7-day holiday with regard to other things too, but with regard to having makeup time to bring your holiday sacrifice, so too Shavuos. Adabre Rav Popo l'Rav Avya Sava v'Dorash. Rav Popo led Rav Avya, and Rav Avya lectured, he taught, Yoim Echod l'fnei Rosh Hashanah v'Rosh Hashanah reikan arba asar. Notice the same calculation as we had before in the context of Shavuos. So Rav Avya taught that with regard to Rosh Hashanah. Om Ravina Hilkoch Yoim Echod l'fnei Hachag v'Chag u'Shmini Shelo. Following this type of calculation that each holiday is worth a week in terms of mourning time, if someone would die a day before Sukkot, so you have three say week worth elements. The day before Sukkot is considered a week. The holiday of Sukkot itself, that's obviously a week. That's how long the holiday is. And Shmini Shelo, the last day of Sukkot, which we call Shmini Atzeres, that constitutes a third holiday. It's a separate holiday. Harei kan esrim v'chod yom. Then that would give you 21 days. And someone who found himself as a mourner would then have only 9 days to complete, to observe with mourning restriction, and he's finished with his shloshim obligation. Ravino iklo l'sura de poras. Ravino went, iklo, he went to this location called Sura of Poras. Omar le Rav Chaviva misura de poras l'Ravina. So Rav Chaviva asked Ravina, Omar mor, do you say Yoyim Echol Lefnei Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Reikan Arbo Asar? Do you say that? Do you agree with that? That one day before Rosh Hashanah, if a person becomes an Ovel, a mourner, plus Rosh Hashanah is equal to 14 days? Omar le, ano mistabro kerabon Gamliel hu damina. I said that it's most likely that we rule like Rabban Gamliel. Now, Rabban Gamliel, he was quoted in the Mishnah back on Yud Tes, Amud Aleph, as saying that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are like holidays. So if Rosh Hashanah is viewed as a regel, that means that Rosh Hashanah is worth 7 days. Plus, we've seen the principle of the day before the holiday having been observed as a mourning day is also worth a week. So, taking all that into consideration, one would conclude that the day before Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah is in fact worth 14 days. The Mishnah. Ein Korin v'loy Cholzin v'ein Mavrin elo Kroivov Shelmeis. Who tears? Only the relatives of the deceased. Who reveals shoulders? Only the relatives. Mavrin, this has to do with meals that are provided by the public for the mourners, but only the relatives of the dead. The Ein Mavrin, Elo Almita Zekufa. The meal is to be eaten by the menachamim, the consolers, only on upright beds. That mita zekufa is the upright bed, whereas the mourner himself inverts his bed. Those that come to console him and eat that meal with him, they sit on upright beds. We continue at the top of Chof Hei Omen Aleph. Before we go into the Gemara text itself, we look at the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. We see a house form featured, and we've written Sidra Shel Kushios the series of questions al haklal shekoba hamishnah de'enkorin elo al krovim. We're going to be questioning the principle that the Mishnah mentioned that tearing is only upon the death of relatives. If we scan ahead, looking at the house markings, you see Chocham, Adam Kosher, and Koi Hasam. These are cases where tearing is expected, and the tearing is in fact done even if it's not a relative. So how is it that the Mishnah presents a rule that tearing is done only upon the death of a relative when we see otherwise? So the Gemara asks, "Va'afilu chacham, are you going to say that even upon the death of a Torah scholar, there is that's not related to you, that there is no tearing?" V'hatanya, we have the following source, chacham shemes, and the brackets should be skipped initially because the language inside of them is not accurate. So we chacham shemes, we skip the brackets. Hakol kikroivov, the public, everyone is like his relatives. Hakol kurin alav, hakol chutzin alav, hakol mavrin alav berachava. All the practices that we associate with standard mourners, we associate with the death of a Torah scholar. Everyone tears. Everyone exposes their shoulders, and everyone has a mourner's meal. Beruchava means in a public square. So, how can the Mishnah say that tearing is done only for relatives when tearing is done also for the demise of a sage? The Gemara answers, Lo tzricha, the lav chacham hu. The Mishnah was talking about the demise of someone who is not a chacham. So if the person that died is not a chacham, then tearing will be done only by his relatives. Now we did skip a bracketed section, so we go back to the top line of the Gemara text, chacham shemes hakol kroivav. The chacham that dies, everyone is his relative. Hakol kroivav sakadech? Do you mean everyone is his relative? That's not so. People who are his brothers, his sisters, his children, those are his relatives. Let's just say the whole public are his relatives. Ela hakol kikroivav. Rather, the more accurate reading is that everyone is like his relative with regard to these laws of mourning. And the Gemara then, as we saw, said the Mishnah that said only relatives tear was talking about a person who was himself, the demised individual, the dead individual, was not a chacham. Being that's the case, so then we can say only relatives tear for his death. Well, is that really so? V'i adam kosher hu, if the expired individual was a proper individual, a kosher individual, chiyuvei mechayev lemikra, there is an obligation to tear anyway. Desanya, mei ma bonov uvnoisav shalodem mesim kishehem kitanim. Why do children die when they are still so young? And again, we have a brackets, we skip it initially, because what's in the brackets is not accurate. But the question was asked, why do children die so young? Mipnei, we skipping the brackets, Mipnei, Shelo Bocha, Visabel Al Adam Kosher, because their parent, their father, did not cry and mourn when he heard of the death of a kosher individual. So we've dashed underline here, Visabel Al Adam Kosher, we see that it's expected to demonstrate mourning over a non-relative if he was an Adam Kosher. Now, we did skip a phrase in the bracket, so let's go over it. The source, at the beginning of the source, is, why did children die so young? In order to arouse people to mourn over the death of a kosher type person. So the Gemara asks, Yivke v'yisabel, all in the future, so as to motivate people in the future to cry and mourn. Arvona kashokil minei, do we take collateral away from a person, i.e. a person's children, so as to motivate them that in the event that a kosher person dies, they will mourn? That doesn't seem reasonable. Ella, but rather, if you're going to ask why does a man's children die when they are so young, when the children are so young, mipnei shelo bocha, it's actually a form of retribution or punishment, because that parent, when a kosher person died, he didn't cry over that. He didn't feel any sense of remorse or of loss. Anyone who does cry and show regret and bemoans the loss of a kosher person, he is forgiven for all his sins because of the honor that he has shown. What's the point? The Mishnah said that tearing is done only for relatives, and we explained if he who died was not a chacham, so only relatives will be the ones to tear. We see from here, tearing should be done even for a non-relative, as long as he's an adam kosher. So how are we to understand the Mishnah? The Gemara answers the lav adam kosher. The Mishnah spoke about the death of someone that was questionable, that wasn't an Odom Kosher. Question, does that still mean that only relatives will tear if it's a non-Chochom, non-Odom Kosher? If you happen to be standing at the bedside of anybody who dies, one is obligated to tear. Desanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Holy Made Al Hames Bishas Yitzias Neshama. Person who was standing bedside of someone at the time of his life expiration, soul departure, he must tear. Chayav Lekra Lemaze Doima. What is this comparable to? The Sefer Torah Shenisraf Shechayav Lekra. If someone is present at the time of, heaven forbid, the burning of a Sefer Torah, of a Torah scroll, one is to tear his garment. And the Rashi explains the connection. The Torah is called a ner, and the soul of a person is called a ner. Ner is a candle. So that the scriptures compare the soul of a person, and in this case we're talking about the departure of the soul, to the tear, to the burning of a Sefer Torah. Just like if one is witness to the burning of a Sefer Torah, he is expected to rend his garments. Likewise, someone present at the departure of a soul. That has nothing to do with relatives, just it has to do with your being there at the time of someone's expiration. So why does the Mishnah say that only relatives tear when it's not limited to that? The Gemara answers, well, the Mishnah is talking about someone who's not standing bedside at the time of soul departure. The lokoi hasam b'shas yitzias neshama. So if you have a situation where someone died and you were not at bedside, and the dead person was not an Odom Kosher and he wasn't a Chocham, only if you happen to be his relative, you will be tearing. So taking all of these factors into consideration, that is what our Mishnah was referring to. Once again, only if you are a relative, you will tear because, well, the person that died, well, you are in bedside, and the person that died was not in Adam Kosher and wasn't a Chocham. So who will be tearing under those circumstances? Non-bedside, non-Chocham, non-Adam Kosher, only his relatives will be tearing. The continuation of the Gemara is characterized by a new marking series, which in Mirtz Hashem, next time we will pick up with this. But before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.